Welcome to the Remix My Fitness podcast, where we learn that there's more than one way to train, eat, and live. I'm your host, MC Kim, and welcome to another week, another episode to the Remix My Fitness podcast. Specifically, this is week number 19, 19 out of 52 of your fitness journey, right? I'm so happy to bring you another episode of the podcast. And I'll be honest, I'm coming off a nice weekend high where I had the opportunity to be a guest speaker for a mental health group here in Toronto. And it was a pleasure and it was an honor to be able to speak with the youth of our community about exercise, fitness, and how to set goals and how it plays a huge role in our mental health. And what I thought was more amazing to see was just how these group of young people who I think get hated on quite a bit, you know, by society about being lazy or not caring, but they have banded together to form groups like these so that people have an avenue and they have a way to seek and get help on this important topic. And that's what today's show is about. Today I'm inspired. I had a slightly different episode planned for today, but I was inspired by this weekend's events that I too wanted to touch on mental health and share a little story about my views and my thoughts about it. Because if I gotta be real honest, you know, for a long, long time, I thought talking about mental health and it being such a hot topic lately was just a bunch of nonsense. And I thought for a long time that people who had mental health or who said that they had mental health were just weak-minded people. And they were just finding another excuse of why they couldn't get to where they wanted to get to, or whether that be a job, a relationship, or anything really in life, right? And I believed for so long that people who had these mental health issues just didn't want to put in the work. They didn't want to put in the time. And they would just throw out mental health as just a convenience for them. But it's funny how life treats you, because, you know, I learned the hard way, the very hard way, that this is just not true. You know, there were two big instances in my life where mental health affected me, affected my family, and, you know, brought us down. But fortunately, we were able to pick ourselves back up. But it really showcased to me, and it really showed me how serious this topic of mental health was. You know, if I could share with you a story, and the story is of the first time my wife gave birth to our son. That was over 5 years ago. And we came back from the hospital and our son was super healthy, but my wife wasn't. And not just physically, but also mentally. And I just didn't realize it at the time. You know, at the time, when she gave birth, it was a strenuous labor for her. You know, she went through back labor. They even had to pull out these giant tongs to pull our son out. And, you know, it caused some serious physical issues with her in the insides and, most importantly, her tailbone. You know, somehow I guess the tongs kind of hit her bone in a little bit of a funny place. You know, it was bad. It was bad for my wife, but one of the things that I remember thinking was, you know what, she's tough. She is one of the toughest people that I know. So I wasn't too worried about it. In fact, I figured she'd just be ready, up and ready to go in the next couple days and, you know, just be able to walk it off, right? And I guess this is a typical coach mentality, just to think like, you know, if you're injured, if you're not feeling well, you'll just walk it off in the next couple days or couple hours even, right? But when we got home, I noticed that something was just very, very different about her. You know, she had this relentless pressure to breastfeed our son, because that was what was expected of all moms to be able to do. At least all the literature she was reading, everything that was being told to her by family members, you gotta breastfeed your son, you gotta do it. The job is the single most important duty of a mom, to be able to go out and breastfeed your son. And I think this pressure and all the physical pain that she was going through, definitely plagued with her mind. And man, you know, all the unsolicited advice that we get from family members, from friends, and I know what they mean really well, but it definitely played a factor into having her fall even further and further and further down that rabbit hole. You wouldn't believe the advice they were getting, even from professionals, from nurses and doctors, of the kinds of advice that we were getting for her to help her breastfeed. So what ended up happening was she wasn't able to breastfeed our son. And our son ended up getting jaundice. Now, thankfully, jaundice is not something that's very life-threatening or serious now. And for those of you that don't know what jaundice is, it's a condition where the skin turns really yellow in a baby, like really, really dark yellow, and their eyes turn white, and their urine is just a really, really dark yellow color. And I remember being in the hospital only 3 days after, you know, my son was born. And one of the nurses, she recognized us. She recognized me and my wife. And she called us out and she said, "Hey, didn't you guys just leave here a few days ago? You shouldn't be back here. Why are you back here?" And those words broke my wife. And she was definitely now not the same person when we came home. You know, I remember looking into her eyes, and I swear to you not, they changed colors. I didn't realize eye colors could change. It went from this deep brown color to now it was gray and it was cloudy. And it scared me for a little bit. You know, when we had a moment alone later that night, she told me something that really scared me, which was, she told me that she wanted to run away and that she was scared of being alone with her son because she was just worried she wouldn't be able to take care of him and that she wouldn't be an adequate mom. So we were told briefly about postpartum depression, and I imagine that this was something that was affecting her. You know, after all, she was carrying this life in her for, you know, 9 months, over 9 months, actually. He was super late. And, you know, now he was out. Now she went from caring him to now caring for him. And must have caused some changes in her hormone levels, for sure. Coupled with the fact that she wasn't able to do the things that were expected of her to do, and what she had put, what the kinds of pressures that she put on herself. But I figured, like I said, she's a strong woman. She'll make it through. This is something that's just gonna just pass on by. Days went by, weeks went by, and months went by, and there were no real signs of her changing or her improving. You know, I hate to say this, because it sounds really selfish, that it affected me as well. I hate to say it, because, you know, she's the one that's going through the depression. She's the one that's feeling helpless and scared. And I wasn't strong enough, and I didn't feel like I was strong enough to be there for her. Because now it was kind of like, well, what about me? You know, I had left my job no more than a year ago. You know, she told me a week before I left my job that to become a fitness coach full-time, to open up a studio, a brand new studio, that she was pregnant. And we made a decision together. She, you know, she told me, you know, follow your dreams, do what you love, be the happiest part of my life. I have a new son. I have my wife. We just moved into our one-bedroom condo that we can call our own. I just renovated and built the studio. I left my job to do the things that I love to do, and I can't enjoy it. I can't enjoy it because every spare second I'm thinking about my wife. I'm thinking about my son. I'm thinking about my business that I just started, and quite frankly, it was not doing very well in that first year. and it just started to bog me down. You know, thankfully I was able to hold it together. I don't think anybody noticed the people that I was training, the classes that I was teaching. I don't think anybody noticed how I was actually doing, but I was doing terrible myself. And I was starting to feel this resentment towards myself, towards my wife, towards everything at this point. Like, you know, what was I thinking bringing a life to this world when I can't even take care of myself, when I can't even take care of my wife? It was disheartening to go home and to see my wife just so tired and so sad that it made me sad. You know, and I went and I did the things that I think anybody would go and do in my shoes, which was to go and talk to family first. I went and I spoke to her mom. I went and spoke to my mom and my friends who also were having kids around that time. But one thing I realized was that not really many people were in the same shoes that we were in. And a lot of the advice that they gave us was, you know, just tell her to tough it out. You know, or I can't believe that she's going through this. I know this kind of advice sounds a little rough around the edges for some of you listeners. But culturally, this is kind of how, if I can generalize, how most Koreans deal with this kind of problem. You know, I'm Korean, my wife is Korean, and we were just told just to tough things out. And maybe it's a generation thing. You know, it's not typical for us to go out and talk things through. We were taught, don't let things bother you. And though this wasn't the best advice, looking back on things, this was the best advice that my parents could give, knowing what they know and how they were brought up. And I know that they 100% believed that this was the only solution. Now, finally, after 2.5 months of this going on, I had the courage, you know, funny enough to say, I had the courage to call our OBGYN who delivered our baby, and I asked for her advice. And the reason why I say courage was because it wasn't normal for me to go out and ask for help. And I honestly had no idea where to even start. So I started with her. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I made that call, because she was able to educate me on postpartum depression and with the other possible things that may be happening with my wife and what she was going through. And she provided me with some resources and some groups that my wife can join. And she recommended other health professionals that she can go and see. And now I was armed with information and resources that I just didn't know existed. And all I had to really do was ask. And along the same theme of asking, I started to ask myself, do I need any help? Am I okay? Because I realized I couldn't be the only dad going through something like this. So I hopped online and I searched for dad groups who were going through similar situations. And I'm so glad I did, because I saw that us dads had a voice too. It was comforting to read and connecting with other fathers who were going through similar situations and how they were dealing with it and coping with it. It was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life, to actually go out there, seek some help, and get outside my comfort zone. But you know what the funny thing is? The funny thing is, when I went to go out and seek help and get help for both my wife and myself, things started to turn around. 3.5 months after my son was born, my wife started showing signs of improvement. Her mood was getting better. Her appetite was coming back. And I could really see how she was interacting very differently with my son now. You know, we had a daughter 1.5 years ago. And my wife and I, we sat down a few weeks prior to giving birth. Well, she gave birth, not me, obviously. we talked about what would happen if she went through this depression again. And it was just great. It was great to be able to speak to her and being open and honest about the past, the present, and the future. And it really showed how much we had grown as a family, as husband and wife, that we can now share and talk about these things openly. Thankfully, this time, she didn't have postpartum depression. And I'm forever grateful of that. And in fact, it was actually the opposite. Like I said at the top of the show, I was inspired this week to do this episode because of the event that I went to this past weekend. It was really great to see that people are coming together and talking about this. Because the more that we talk about it, the more we can make others aware. People like myself. People like myself who had no idea and who were very naive into thinking what mental health was and the fact that it would never happen to them. But it does happen. It happens to everybody. In fact, I learned over this weekend it happens to 1 in every 5 people will be affected by mental health. And what I want to say to people who are listening right now who are suffering from mental health or who might be having a breakdown, to go out there and seek some help. Turn to your friends, turn to your loved ones. There are professionals out there who will be able to help you out. Don't try to tough it out like I did. That was a huge mistake. Why go through it alone when you don't have to? And we're so fortunate to live in a day and age here, especially in North America, especially here in Toronto, that we have access to all this information, all these resources, and it'd be a shame if you didn't go out and use it. So like I said, if you're out there, you're struggling, you don't think there's a way out, there is. I promise you. I really, really do. You just need to open your mind, open your heart. Resources out there. There are good, good, good people out there who are willing to help you out. So I'm going to leave the show on that note. If you have a story about your own mental health and how you got through it, I'd love to hear from you. You can hit me up at mckim@remixmyfitness.com. That's mckim@remixmyfitness. Hit me up on social at Remix My Fitness, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. Let me know. Let me know how y'all doing. Okay? So until next time, go out there, set some goals, challenge yourself, but most importantly, don't forget to have some fun. Peace.